Dark Fire by C.J. Sansom. Read by Anton Lesser. I'd left my house in Chancery Lane early to go to the Guildhall to discuss a case in which I was acting for the City Council. Although the far more serious matter I'd have to deal with on my return weighed on my mind, as I rode down Fleet Street, I was able to take pleasure in the soft airs of early morning. The weather was very hot for late May, and I wore only a light doublet under my black lawyer's robe. As my old horse Chancery ambled along, the sight of trees in full leaf made me think again of my ambition to retire from practice, to escape the noisome crowds of London. In 2 years' time I'd be 40, in which year the old man's age begins. If business was good enough, I might do it then. I passed over Fleet Bridge with its statues of the ancient kings Gog and Magog. The city wall loomed ahead, and I braced myself for the stink and din of London. At the Guildhall, I met Mayor Hollis. The Commons Council had brought an action against one of the rapacious land speculators buying up the dissolved monasteries. The particular speculator, to my shame, was a fellow barrister of Lincoln's Inn, a false, greedy rogue named Belknap. He'd got hold of a small London friary, converted the church into a hotchpotch of unsavoury tenements, and excavated a common cesspit for his tenants. But it was a botched job, and the tenants of the neighbouring houses, which the council owned, were suffering grievously from the penetration of filth into their cellars. The wretch Belknap, however, alleged that the friary's original charter excluded it from the city's jurisdiction, and he wasn't obliged to do anything. The matter was listed for hearing before the judges in King's Bench. I advised the mayor that Belknap's chances were slim and made my way home via Cheapside, where crowds milled round the stalls. I wrinkled my nose at the mighty stink the hot weather drew from the sewer channel, then cursed roundly as a rooting pig, its snout smeared with nameless rubbish, ran squealing across Chancery's path, making him jerk aside. A couple of apprentices glanced round at my oath, and one gave me a contemptuous grin. I set my lips and spurred Chancery on. I saw myself as he must have, a whey-faced hunchback lawyer in black robe and cap, a pencase and dagger at my waist instead of a sword. I thought again of the meeting to come, which I'd been dreading. Then, as I turned past the great bulk of St. Paul's, I heard a pamphlet seller howling at the crowd, "Child murderers taken in Newgate, the most terrible crime of the year." I leaned down to pass him a farthing. He peeled off a sheet and handed it up to me. "Terrible crime in Walbrook," I read. "Child murdered by his jealous cousin." On May the 16th last, at the fair house of Sir Edwin Wentworth of Walbrook, a member of the Mercer's Company, his only son Ralph, a boy of 12, was found at the bottom of the garden well with his neck broken. The boy had been attacked by Elizabeth Wentworth, an orphan, whom Sir Edwin had taken into his house from charity. She is taken to Newgate, where she is to go before the justices the 29th of May next, and Tyburn next hanging day. The thing, badly printed on cheap paper, left inky smears on my fingers as I thrust it into my pocket. So the case was public knowledge, another halfpenny sensation. It was nearly noon when I reined Chancery in before my house. I dismounted and passed the reins to Simon, a stick-thin, yellow-haired urchin employed to help about the house, who led the horse to the stable. Joan, my housekeeper, opened the door, a worried expression on her plump face.
"He's here, that girl's uncle."
"What case is he in?"
"Sombre, sir. He's in the parlour. I gave him a glass of small beer."
"Thank you." Joseph Wentworth was a plump, ruddy-cheeked man in his 50s, uncomfortable in his best wool doublet of sober brown, too hot for this weather. An old client of mine, he looked like what he was, a working farmer, owner of some poor lands in Essex. His two younger brothers had sought their fortunes in London, but Joseph had remained on the farm.